really loved it. Well, it may seem a bit like Groundhog Day, because we spoke, I think Brian spoke briefly about some of these scriptures, but we're going to go back and look over them and hopefully expound them just a little bit more. So, here we go. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Amen. What wonderful scriptures. And I feel so overwhelmed with this task. So I will pray for God's help, for God's leading and guiding and anointing. Dear Father God, we thank you for your word, which is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it will go forth and achieve what you sent it to accomplish. And I pray humbly through this message that you've given me, that your truth, encouragement, may be displayed, and you would be glorified in your body, which is your bride, your church, and that's us, that we may grow, that we may become mature, speaking the truth in love, so you would be glorified and your church would be equipped, it would be built up to the fullness of Christ and achieve what you sent it to accomplish. We ask this in Jesus' name, for your kingdom and for your glory's sake. Amen. 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 Well, some of you people may know I have a few different hobbies, and one of them is horology. Does anybody know what horology is? It's not some new form of theology, so don't worry there. Anybody know what horology is? I'll give you a clue. Tick tock, tick tock.
Watch collector.
Yes, I'm a watch collector. I love wristwatches. I love pocket watches. This one I've got on today is from 1974. It's a hybrid watch from electronic to quartz. So it's called an electronic Hummer. And this is made by Tissot, and a very rare and supreme example, may I say so myself. So, I want to show you something else besides my wristwatch. I brought a beautiful Cyrillic dialed Eterna railway watch from Serbia that was used in the Kingdom of Yugoslavia. I wrote to Eterna, which is a company, a Swiss watch company, that was founded in 1858, and it still makes watches today. It's a very fine brand, it's high-end, and this, in its day, was state-of-the-art. And the reply I got from Eterna, with the serial numbers that I gave them, this is dated to 1930. What a beautiful example. I'll bore you a little bit now. On the back of the watch, we have engraved an emblem, of the Serbian railways with a steam train. So this makes it doubly collectible. To your railway enthusiasts and to your watch collectors. But it has an onion winder. It looks like an onion. This is what we call an onion winder. It's got a porcelain dial, which is immaculate. To say this is from 1930s, one drop, one bang, you can tell this watch has been used and it's been cherished. And this was used for the timetables of trains within the former Yugoslavia. So this watch had to be the best in its class of the day. And today it's still a fine example. It has Roman numerals all the way around, printed on the porcelain dial. Below that, it has a 24-hour number, so we know the AM to the PM. Also, it has blue steel hands, so when you catch that in the light, they're a beautiful iridescent blue. It has a sub-second dial. Am I talking too much? This is good quality. But the things on display are only half of what you see. Because if we open this watch, on the first covering, we see the gold medals it won in its making. It's a 6-medallion Grand Prix winner, which means this watch is a peach. That's a British expression for something great. It's a class quality watch, but now, here where is the true makings of this watch? It has 15 rubies within the back of this watch. It has hundreds of springs, escapement wheels, gears and mechanisms that make this watch function correctly. We only see a few on the front, but without these jewels working in the back, this watch wouldn't function. A bit like the church. We have some gifts on display at the front that Brian so eloquently described as mouthpieces. That these gifts that we're going to hear about all have the matter with speaking and talking. But there's a lot more gifts that are described in the New Testament. And each and every one of us has a gift and a part to play. And none are more important. Some have a higher function, but all are essential for the church to function. Like them jewels, like them escapement wheels and gears, for the watch to function. Amen. Amen. Verse 11. It was he, that is Jesus Christ, who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers. Sometimes these ministries are described as the ascension gift ministries or ascension gift function. Some denominations play a bigger role upon these gifts and functions than others. But we must look that Christ gave these gifts to the body, his church, that means you and I, when he ascended, not before, for the building up of his church. So it's important, I would say it's imperative, to understand and to comprehend that Christ has not only saved his church, that is you and me, if you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but he has saved us for a reason. And that's a great reason that we rejoice over the cross, but the cross also has a purpose. And this is part of that purpose, that Christ gave gifts unto mankind, to men and women, to build his church. And you and I both have a part to play in that wonderful eternal plan Jesus Christ has. Last week, Brian spoke about the gift giver, Jesus Christ. The gift giver, the grace gifts I spoke a couple of weeks ago in the beginning of chapter 4 that we have a calling, that Jesus Christ called us. So what did he call us for? He called us for a purpose. He called us for a plan. He called us to do good works, not dead
works.
So we're more than just being, we're part of doing. Christ has work for you and for I to do. As well, the Beatitudes, some people say, that is us being, but also Christ equips us so we can do. We are his hands. We are his mouthpiece. We are his feet. He functions through his body, and he is the head overall. What a privilege to be part of something so much bigger than we are alone. Because together, that is the body. The universal church, we spoke it out in the Nicene Creed. We also, yes, we're part of a local church. But throughout the world, we're part of one universal apostolic church. And Christ is its head. And we have the privilege to be part of that function. What a great responsibility and a privilege that is, that Christ has called. He's equipped us, you and I, for gifts of service. Wonderful. So we only must not just get excited of the work of the cross, but I think we must comprehend its purpose. Now, apostle. When I speak about the apostles, sometimes we automatically think of the 12 apostles or the 13. Judas was replaced by Matthias. Some say he was the 12th, the others say Paul was the 12th apostle. Doesn't really matter, Christ knows whose there is and what their functions are. And we don't need to argue over job description, because before I say anything, whether we agree that this is for the New Testament or whether this stopped and it's redundant, like some people teach or believe, I personally do not hold to that teaching, because it's an ascension gift. And later on I will give my reasons. But I don't think we are the apostles that are called today like they were in the New Testament. These were the first outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They were disciples that became apostles. They waited upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And when the Holy Spirit was poured out, they went forth and they spoke out. And miracles happened, people were converted and baptized, and the church grew. So maybe I can understand some saying they're not the apostles in that sense. Maybe. I tend to think the church hasn't reached its fulfillment. Christ still has work for us to do. So whether we agree in that job description, I do believe they're apostles of today. If we look in the Greek, it's apostolos, which means one who is sent forth. So we remember the verse of chapter 4, one who is called, one who is equipped, and one who is sent forth as an ambassador of the gospel. And it tells us in Corinthians that we are ambassadors of Christ. What a great responsibility we have. But they are called by God to do a specific work. Even though we're all called and sent forth, we're not all apostles. It says some are apostles. So it doesn't mean all, even though we all have a calling and we're sent forth. You could say the modern word for missionary is one that is, if you've been called, not if you go. If God hasn't called you, it doesn't matter what gift you want. If God hasn't called and equipped, it won't function. It's a calling. It's a gift which Christ gave according to his grace, to his choosing. This is what the Word of God tells us. So we're called to go forth. So you could say a missionary is an apostle. They're usually ones that go out into some new country, to some strange place, maybe like Pastor Brian did 17 years ago, and planted churches here in Skopje, which I believe you planted a couple, along with some other people. And I'm not just saying it was you alone. And that is one that goes forth into a strange culture, maybe into a strange country, and they go forth in power and they plant churches, they preach the gospel, and signs and wonders follow. Signs and wonders. Oh, let us debunk that. We sometimes think, oh, it was only these apostles that Christ saw his ascension, and they did great miracles. Well, just read in Acts. It wasn't the apostles that did great miracles. There were many other people that did. Even though the apostles possibly did the greatest miracles. I'm not denying that. But there was many other apostles and people that did miracle work. If we look in the New Testament, because some people say it's only those who witnessed Christ's ascension that can be the true apostle. Well, according to 1 Thessalonians, Silas is an apostle. Timothy is an apostle. Titus and Barnabas are apostles. They did not witness Christ's resurrection, but they were still apostles. They were still called by God, who equipped them with a gifting and sent them forward. So, okay, we might not be people, when I say we, I mean the body of Christ, not me specifically, may not be exactly the same as the apostles, but I believe that office, that gifting, that function, whichever may you want to call it, is still for today. Because whether we agree or not with that, Christ will still do what he wants, whether we agree with the job title. I know one certain Reformed theologian who doesn't call himself an apostle, but he's out in some other country planting churches. That doesn't matter what job title we say, if the will of God is being done through his gifting. So stay with me, and I hope I'm speaking the truth in love, not pushing forward any of my own understanding. This is how I read the New Testament, and I take it very seriously. I do lots of studies over the years, and you and I are charged not just to take my word for it. You must read the word of God for yourself and pray and seek the truth. And those that seek the truth, the Bible tells us, the truth will be revealed. Prophets. I think possibly flaky Pentecostals may give this office a bad name. I would consider myself a Pentecostal, so I'm not insulting anybody. I'm certainly not flaky. I hope you know that I'm solid enough after all these years. But I do understand. I've met some so-called prophets. I met one while I was working in Teen Challenge. Smoking, drinking, speaking in tongues, came to me and said, God told me that you're going to give me £500 because I need to buy a car. I said, well, when he tells me, I'll give you it. So when people prophesy, we have God's Holy Spirit sealed within us. And it witnesses if that's true or not. We have discernment. One of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is discernment. And sometimes we may get frightened of this name prophet. Now, it's not like a prophet in the Old Testament. It is people who speak the word of God. And I'll give you a perfect example. It may even be another gift, like a word of knowledge. But they're speaking for God. I was in a church in Wales, and my heart is to preach the gospel. If I don't preach the gospel, standing here, sharing, searching the scriptures, I die. Because I've been called, and I've been equipped, and I do not boast in me, but I boast in Christ, the gift giver. Amen. And if I do not do it, I die inside. Because I found out who I am. And I couldn't preach in this church, even though I was there for many years, due to the politics of that church. And they had flaky preachers, and I was like, that's it, I've been here years and they're still not giving me opportunity, I'm going to leave. I wasn't hasty even then, so I prayed and prayed, and I decided after a number of weeks, this would be my last Sunday in this church, and straight after the service, I was going to go and tell and speak to the eldership and the pastor. I hadn't told anybody else, But I was leaving that day. That was my last Sunday. Soon as the service finished and I was making my way over to the pastor, three people stopped me. Three people. And they just said, "Do you know, we really love you. You wouldn't ever consider leaving us, would you?" "I'm going. You don't know I'm gone, you know? I'm going today." No problem. Just making my way over. Somebody else pulled me. "Don't leave this church. You know, you're really valued here and we care about you." And then the elder of that church came to me and said, "Do you want to preach next week?" So I didn't leave. But more than that, it was through that church a new pastor came, and that pastor was called David Dixon. He's a great friend of mine. And I came to Macedonia with him about 12 years ago now. And if I'd have left, I would have never come to Macedonia. If I didn't come to Macedonia, I wouldn't have met my beautiful bride. So through them words, we have some picture maybe of some prophet. And just because we may have experienced flaky and maybe people that speak the word of God and freak us out with saying, "Thus said the Lord," you know, come on. I understand it can be a bit, but you know what? We know the truth. And if these gifts and these offices, if these people that have these functions are not recognized by the church, because there's many lone rangers, but we have to come under Christ. We have to come under the pastor. Now, Brian is younger than me, but I love him with all my heart, and it's a privilege for me to serve under his pastorship, because I believe that God called him, God's equipped him, and it's a privilege for me. And that's how the body functions. We must be under the authority of Jesus Christ. Even Lone Ranger had Tonto. And if you know, Jesus Christ sent them out two by two. And there's wisdom in that, as he did the 74. So, let me move on to evangelists. Well, I think the best description of an evangelist is Philip in the New Testament. In the same church I was speaking about in Ammanford, West Wales, there was a worship leader called Julie Murray, and she wasn't gifted for worship. In fact, she was brutal. She'd say stand up, I would sit down. She just was not called to that ministry, but she was an evangelist. And what I mean by an evangelist, we used to go out with the church on a Friday night and walk the streets of Ammanford, and it's a rough old place in the west of Wales on a Friday night when the pubs are turning out. You know, I spoke to a few people from Swansea. They said the only thing you're guaranteed in Ammanford is the right good hiding. So you get the picture of what sort of place it was. And I didn't really, a good hiding means a punch in the eye. There's lots of fish fights, blood, beer. So that's what it means. Brian looked at me, "What are you talking about?" So
that's maybe English.
I'm British. I do speak English. Anyway, fair point. But this girl, Julie Murray, she would stop drunks on the street. She would stop people. I've seen that. I've walked with her and she'll go like this, "Stop." And she'll strike a conversation where most people, when I did that, told me where to go. Very unpolitely. But they would just stop. And they may take the mickey. They may be abusive to her a little bit. But she would have a word from God that was a key to their heart. And 9 times out of 10, they would end up on their knees praying.
Hallelujah.
Because she was called by God and she was gifted by God. How did she do it? It was a gift. I don't know. But where she went, she brought people in the net of the kingdom. She wasn't great at discipling, but she would bring so many people to church. And many of them were from the Friday night, and they'd come on the Sunday. And many of them came and to be long-term members and solid fruit within the fellowship. I had a pastor who was an evangelist, because the evangelist in that particular church was an office that wasn't recognized. But he was he wasn't a pastor like Brian that has a father's heart, because he was an evangelist. So there is many gifts, and they go hand in hand. Now, pastors and teachers, I think these are two separate things, but many expositors say that the Greek word of this means pastor, stroke, teacher, and some have said it means one gift. Well, I have to disagree with that as being a blanket statement. I know most pastors can teach, but not all teachers are pastors. We have a beautiful pastor here. As Brian has become a pastor here, I hope you have recognized, as I and Maya have recognized, his father's heart for this congregation. It's not about perfection. None of us are perfect, but he has a father's heart. And when I hear him preach and speak, it's evident for everybody to hear. And we are lucky and we are blessed to have him. So I believe pastors and teachers. So some even say that Christ gave, which is past tense, so these gifts aren't relevant. Well, that isn't just poor exegesis. If that were true, he gave, you know, the pastors and teachers would be redundant, wouldn't they? And we know that that isn't true. So this list that I've spoken about here in verse 11 is not exhaustive. There's many gifts. There's gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we see in Corinthians, and there are many gifts that manifest through the book of Romans. And I think there's 20, 25, but if you do a full New Testament add up of these gifts, I think, I did this many years ago, it's 59. 59 gifts that God gives. Now, some are more prominent, like these five gifts here, but every gift is needed. So, here we go. A gift that God has given must be exercised. It must be performed. We must practice them to make them perfect. And I want to ask you this morning, what is your gift? What gifts has Christ gave you? Because he's given everybody gifts. So I would like you to ask yourself that question if you do not already know. What gifts has he given you? Verse 12. To prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. So we learn something of the purpose of the cross. These gifts, roles, and functions are to build the body up. That's what they're for. We train and exercise our own bodies. Well, I used to. Maybe some do it more than others. But we must train and exercise our spiritual gifts. And that means making some mistakes. That means, you know, a little bit of humility. And we don't like that, perhaps. It's nice to stay safe and sit on the back and not get involved. But God has equipped you. God has called you. And you, being part of this church, for it to function as it should, are really needed. And you being here makes such a difference. Because Brian cannot do it alone. But this church has the wisdom and sense to build a great team around him. And together we can. With all these different gifts that we bring to the body. To prepare God's people for works of service. Ooh. Five-letter word. Take the S off. Works. Ooh. Yeah. We have work to do. We're saved for a reason. Good works. We spoke about it earlier in the chapter. Brian preached about it. Not dead works, but good works that Jesus Christ has prepared in advance for us to do. And we must just step in them. We must just pray. We must just seek God. We've got to be active, proactive about this. You've been saved for a reason. And I'd like to talk briefly. I was in Swaziland many years ago with the Teen Challenge Ministries, and I led a team over there, and we had the privilege to build two orphanages for children that all their parents died of AIDS. And it was a real privilege and a real eye-opener. I never seen as many miracles happen in one place. We went to the state hospital where a lot of the AIDS children were born and left. We had to bribe our way into this place with money and sweets and chocolate. And a team of us went in to minister to these children. And we were all full of zeal. And when we got in, I was horrified. I didn't know what I would expect. And as I walked in this hospital, a blanket smell of excrement hit me. I was nearly physically sick on the spot. We put our heads around this newborn child's ward, and there's babies and young children with cockroaches on their face. They were sat in their feces, and I froze. All this zeal and all this power, I was going to go in and pray, and I froze because of the fear of the smell of death. It's hard to even to comprehend. And I had this guy with us in the team. He was a rough diamond from Scotland, from Glasgow, called Alex Muir. And he was a worship leader. And he'd been called. And he'd been anointed and chosen by God. And he took his guitar off his back. And he just sang, Jesus. Because I didn't know what to do. And the more he sang Jesus, the power of God fell in that place. The Holy Spirit, I could sense it. And these children started to come round. There was parents and grandparents, round some of the children. And when he sang and the Spirit of God came, they took their hats off. They bowed their heads because they recognized God was there. And me, in my own strength, I wouldn't have gone forward because I was froze with fear. But this worship leader, he led the way for the presence of God. What a great privilege you have. And it changed everything. We prayed for lots of these children, and God did a mighty work, a mighty work. Until we reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Have we reached unity? Have we reached knowledge of the Son of God? Are we all mature? Have we attained the full measure of the fullness of Christ? No. I haven't. We're on a journey. We're heading that way. So this is just another indication that these gifts are relevant, because they will be redundant when this is fulfilled, and that will be fulfilled when Jesus Christ comes back for his church, and not a day before, in my humble opinion, of course. But please see my heart. I'm speaking truth in love, and I long for you to experience the fullness of God's calling, gifting, equipping, so that together we can be something so much bigger than we are alone. And you're part of that. Then, we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here, there and everywhere with the wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. That means when we mature, we're not going to be taken in by cults, by different things, by wolves in sheep's clothing, or false prophets, or false apostles. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will all in things grow up to him who is the head, that is Christ. Sometimes people say to me, can I be brutally honest with you? And I say, no, You can't. Because brutality and love are not together. We need to speak the truth in love. And that means gentleness. That means caring. First, we must take the log out of our own eye, and then we can see clearly to remove the speck from our brother's. Christ is the head, and we have a high standard to live up to. From him, the whole body, joined together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. We all have a part to play. I'm banging the same drum again. You and I all have a part to play. If you know God, you've been called, you've been equipped, you've been gifted. What is that gift? Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. While the lost of the earth are dying, and the Master calls for you. Take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he calls you. Here I am. Send me. Send me. So, the conclusion of the matter is Christ gave to prepare four works of service until we reach maturity and we speak the truth in love, and unity will be achieved. We won't be tossed by any false teaching, and we'll function as Christ has equipped us. This watch, this beautiful Eterna pocket watch I've had for several years, is missing a gear wheel. It's incomplete. The second hand turns around, but it's only right twice a day. All these wonderful jewels, this beautiful porcelain dial, the Roman numerals, these blue steel hands, because one gear wheel is missing. It's only right twice a day. Are you the gear wheel missing from this church? Jesus has called you. Jesus has equipped you. And we need you. Let us pray.
Our Father God, we thank you for the truth that we've heard this morning. We thank you for the challenge it is to our lives to use what you've given to us to build up this group of people here, to build up your church here in Skopje or Macedonia and around the world. We are a part of what you are doing. Thank you for giving us these amazing gifts, the ones spoken this morning and many, many others, that we can build up, encourage, strengthen, support, correct one another until we become like our Savior, Jesus Christ.